Now here, in this forsaken jungle hell, I have proved that I am all right.
Justin Souther. I'm film critic with the Mad Express.
Gad, you are. Yes.
And Ken Hanke.
I am Ken Hanke, the other film critic for the Mountain Express. And together, the two of us become...
What?
I thought you knew.
I know.
Well, what?
They said I didn't know.
Oh. Do you know?
Yeah, you're elitist bastards.
Thank you. Our producer tells us we're elitist bastards. And we've been to the movies, and we are coming to you
in the Cinema Lounge
at the Carolina
off Hendersonville Road.
Right. The lush, picturesque garden spot of Asheville. And we're going to talk about what we've seen, what you should see, what you shouldn't see, and what we're going to see. You ready?
Yes.
Let's get that goddamn Paul Haggis movie out of the way first.
Okay. Well, the goddamn Paul Haggis movie, as you have titled it, is actually called The Next 3 Days. It's a...
My title is better.
I doubt it would have done any better at the box office.
Well, it could hardly have done much worse.
It's a remake of a French film called Anything for Her. So this time when we have Russell Crowe, a lowly community college English teacher whose wife has been arrested for murder and thrown in the clink.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to bust her out.
Armed with only a telephone to throw at people, he goes and breaks her out of jail?
No, he's got a gun.
Oh, okay.
And a tennis ball. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Now explain to me about this film, which I understand you have told me that it hasn't been haggisized.
It has only partially been. It's not as socially relevant.
It's not socially relevant.
But it is too long. It does think it's much more clever than it actually is. It thinks it's better than it is.
Yes, well, most of them think they're better than they are.
Well, I mean, it's not nearly as entertaining or as clever as it should be.
Okay. That's only my first question, though.
Okay.
My second question is...
When you were 12.
Yeah, well, I know the answer to that one. What exactly is Liam Neeson doing in this movie?
He's getting a paycheck and then getting the hell out. He's in it for all of a minute. Maybe 5 minutes, maybe.
Oh, so you pretty much seen him when you saw the trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay.
Doing a really bad New York accent. Because it's still like Liam Neeson. He can't quite.
Yeah, well, you know, since he's suddenly become like this Mr. Action movie guy, which I don't understand.
Gotta make a living. But no, he doesn't. He shows up, sits down at a diner. Leaves. Pretty much it.
This is about on par with Brad Dourif in Pulse, you mean? So maybe a little longer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
So would you recommend this film?
No, it's too long. It meanders around too much. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's too. It doesn't go anywhere. When it does, it's the payoff's not quite there. Haggis doesn't seem to understand how thrillers should work, or how to make them exciting or interesting.
So I should not run from this room downstairs
You should, because I would like to see you attempt to run.
I am looking askance at him. You can't see that, ladies and gentlemen, but I am looking askance at him. I'm also thinking of a word. It's a short word. Four letters. Starts with a C.
Sure you are. Think of this word a lot, Ken.
Only when I look at you.
It's comb, isn't it? Comb.
Not quite, no. It's not cute, either.
He can't spell cat. But nobody cares about this movie,
no,
obviously.
That's true. I mean, nobody cares, no. Because
you know what movie they do care about?
Yogi Bear?
Yes. I think that means you're going to watch it, right?
No, it doesn't mean that. We haven't really come to a conclusion about that yet, so. No, I'm assuming you mean Harry Potter 6.5.
Yes. Or the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Hallowed. Whatever.
The Deathly Hollow Man.
Anyway, this is a movie that we have both seen.
Yes. We both have seen.
That's
it.
Right. Yes.
Except I went to a midnight show, so I don't know if my judgment was clear, because the entire time I was
I went to a 10 a.m. show. It's a wash.
Well, no, I was sitting there the entire time thinking, I have to be at work at 9 in the morning. Why the hell am I watching Harry Potter?
Because you're 20-something years old and easily conned into things by people you know.
No, it wasn't that, but... Mm-hmm. Well, it was more... It's been years since I've been to one of these big event, like midnight showings, without working at one. And so I was like, okay, I'll go see these people dressed up like Harry Potter, except by the time we got there, they already had their seats, and it wasn't...
Well, it was
just sort of a big mess of people...
Yes, well, so, whatever. I was content to see it at 10 o'clock in the morning myself, but I'm old and not as malleable to this sort of thing. So there.
I don't know what that means.
Well, exactly. You know.
Anyway, what did you think of Harry Potter?
I thought it was very good. I thought it delivered on the promise of the last film from the director.
Do you think it was better than the last one? Because I do not.
See, I find that hard to say, because let's realize we've got half a movie.
Right.
This is really one half of a 5-hour movie.
Right.
So...
Which, that in and of itself means it 5 hours of movie. I don't think.
Probably, but at the same time, I look at this one and I can't really see... What you could effectively, you could trim it a little bit, but I don't think you could get it down to any more seriously more tractable length.
Right.
Even as it stands, major things take place that are dealt with in a line of dialogue off-screen.
Which I'm not even sure we realize how much stuff.
Well, sure Bill Nye gets killed, and that's mentioned just completely off-screen.
Right.
Mad-Eye Moody gets killed, and that's mentioned in some completely off-screen that happens.
Right.
Snape takes over Hogwarts, one line of dialogue, and that's all we get. I don't know if you get more of that in the book, but good Lord.
Well, I'm just curious how much... I'm not complaining about this, I'm just thinking that there's probably a few things that we've missed.
Well, there probably are a few things, and there are probably aspects that they mentioned in passing that I'm not...
clear on.
Harry Potter savvy enough that I would necessarily even understand what had happened.
Right.
You know, something major could have happened, and you know, I've seen the movies. I've read 1.5 of the books. This is not, you know, I'm not an encyclopedia of Potterdom. Why do you not think it's up to the last film?
Well, I think, and you've touched on it a little bit, I think inherently any movie that's setting up another movie.
Well, you could say that the last film did too, but the last film has a successful climax.
Right, and that's...
And a successful, emotionally resonant climax.
Right, and when they go for it in this one, for reasons we won't talk about, for spoiling...
Let's just say there's a significant difference between killing off Dumbledore and who they kill off in this.
Yes. And... Yes.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I do like the final, actual final thing. I think that's very good.
Right. But there is a lot of... one of the few times they allowed someone to be a filmmaker within
yes.
these movies. And it's also nice that they will do that and not...
Well, I think Cuaron was pretty much unfettered.
Right.
I'm not sure anybody else has ever been. But...
Because the difference... Like, I sort of split these movies up between the ones I don't mind and the ones I really like.
Okay.
Which is 3 and 6. I like those a lot. The rest of them, I'm ambivalent towards.
The whole thing is I'd have to see 1 and 2 again.
Right.
I'd probably have to see 4 again.
The 5th one I don't remember anything about, really.
I remember thinking it was fine.
Right. But there's... And I do, too, which means that there's definitely some sort
of
progress in his direction.
But the only ones I've ever seen more than once are 3 and 6.
Right. But certainly there's a reason why, even if you can't remember.
Even if I can't remember why that is, yeah. No, that's not true. I did see the first one more than once. Okay. I'm not sure why, but I did. But I never saw the second one more than once other than what I would see through a projection room window, which doesn't really count. Unless you stand there and watch the whole thing. And I didn't.
Right. So. Lots of good stuff. It's not quite as good as the...
I really like the animated...
Right.
...section where they tell the tale of the three brothers that explains the Deathly Hallows. I do think it is amazing in a way that they assume you know what a Horcrux is.
Right.
Because...
Because I had sort of forgotten.
If I had, well, the thing was, I had watched 6 a couple days earlier, which is the only reason I remember what a Horcrux was. Otherwise, it would have been like, okay, it's something important, and they're after it, and that's all I knew. But now I was able to tell you what it was they were after.
Right.
Of course, I saw it with somebody who gets a phone call immediately afterwards, and apparently the person asked, "Where do they end it?" And he just says, "They end it where?" And this apparently was completely explicable to both him and the person on the other end of the phone. So I guess they are more in the Potterhead category than I am. But I liked it. I mean, I did like it. And I'm looking forward to the last one. I really kind of wish it wasn't going to be in 3D. But last one is going to be in 3D. So I suppose I could ferret out a non-3D-ified print. But
probably.
But I like it. I recommend it. I don't think it's the greatest movie ever made. It probably isn't going to be on my 10 best of the year list, but it's
good. The only thing that worries me about the last one...
Yes?
...is that with these movies, the thing that interests me the least is all the wizardry. And the battles and... Like, I really don't care about that as much, and I'm thinking, from what I understand about this last one, there's going to be a lot of action and...
A lot of wizard action.
Yeah. Stuff
could
blowing
be.
Up. And this is going to... I'm more.
But we'll be safe from a Quidditch match. I figure that's certain.
Maybe they've rewritten it. And
maybe
it'll
they
be an
have,
hour of Quidditch to the death.
Even after swearing that I would never say anything against Quidditch again after seeing Vampire Baseball and Twink Light, I think an hour would do it.
Okay. Maybe it's in the director's cut.
So.
Anyway. Is that enough?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we've pottered about enough. Yeah.
And we have, on Thanksgiving...
We have two turkeys.
Yes. And a couple movies.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, and what are we showing?
We are showing Ed Wood's Bride of the Monster, which I believe you've seen.
I saw part of.
You tell
me.
Yeah, right? I was at the library.
I was sick
asleep?
That day. No, I was. I was
or did
sick.
You leave?
I left.
Oh, okay.
I tried.
Okay.
I made a valiant effort. And
in any case,
I made
we
it through Edward.
We are showing Bride of the Monster, which is deliriously bad, and we are showing The Devil Bad, which is at least far more competently bad.
Okay.
It at least looks like a real movie. It doesn't have a mad scientist lab where the major components, besides that really obviously painted stone wall, are a stove, a sink, and a refrigerator. So it at least has a certain amount of production value, and a screwy plot. I mean, granted, Lugosi trying to create his race of atomic supermen in the first film is pretty silly, but breeding giant bats, which he enlarges through glandular stimulation, which sounds dirty, actually. So that they can
go... As long as it's not the prostate.
They go, well, we don't know. I mean, this is really conjuring some nasty pictures. You know, so that the whole idea being that he's getting back at his enemies because he has also devised this shaving lotion that draws the bat and drives it insane, and it will tear out your throat if you're wearing the damn stuff. So, of course, all he has to do is get his enemies to put the shaving lotion on, and then he lets the bat loose. And
is it like Sweeney Todd?
Nobody bakes them into meat pies, and then there's no lathering of them.
It would seem like one way of doing it.
You know, it would be, yeah, but no, he just says things like, now rub a little on the tender part of your throat. You know. His villainy is amazingly transparent. People will say, good night, doctor, and he'll say, goodbye, Roy. It's like, you know, it's pretty...
simpler times.
Yeah, it was a simpler time. And I mean, at one point, after he's committed 3 murders, somebody says to him, you can't claim to control a man's destiny. And he stands there and says, I've already proved it 3 times. Well, this kind of gives the game away. Unfortunately for the guy who gives it away to, he happens to have the bat in the trunk of his car. Okay. So
you're saying this movie's not realistic?
I don't know that I wouldn't say it's realistic. I love any movie that has secret passageways that are so spacious you could put my house in them. I mean, this is not a mere secret passageway. It has old beds. It has all sorts of stuff stored in it. This is an amazing idea. It also has a window. I don't understand that concept at all. You know, if you can see in the secret passage, you can probably tell it's there. But you know, this is the world of 1940s trash horror. It's wonderful. You must see it.
Okay. What about Tuesday?
I give
For
up.
The
what
Film
about
Society.
Tuesday?
What are we showing,
What
Ken?
Are we showing? We are showing
Ernst
Lubitsch's 1932, 1 hour with you. Uh-huh. With
how long is it?
It's 80 minutes.
Okay, that's...
So it's actually an hour and 20 minutes with you. And with Maurice Chevalier and Jeanette MacDonald, and we are showing the restored UCLA edition from Laserdisc, which has the original tents from the Roadshow print and the exit music on it, which for some reason when it was released on DVD a couple years ago, was left. They ran a not very good black and white print of it and has no exit music. So this is something of a rarity. The film is very funny. It's very unusual for the time. It has a good deal of the device of having a character talk directly to the audience, which previously had pretty much been relegated to Groucho Marx in one film with George Arliss, oddly enough. But it also has 2 people break the fourth wall in the final scene, which I'm not sure I've ever seen that in anything else.
I think there was a Saved by the Bell episode.
Well, I'm certainly glad to see you drag it down to that level. Thank
saying.
You. I will.
I'm glad, Steve.
Yeah, you made Steve laugh, but you know.
That's what I'm here for.
I'll have my revenge on both of you before this is over.
You've had your revenge.
No, not yet. Just think, Yogi Bear is in the future.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, anyway. You should all come and see that because it's an excellent film, and you won't get to see
it. Is it better than Yogi Bear?
Sight unseen, I can guarantee you that Yogi Bear is not as good as 1 hour with you.
Bold prediction. From
Bold prediction.
If they ever re-release this film on DVD, I want that. Better than Yogi Bear, Ken Henke, Mountain Asheville Express.
Mountain Asheville Express, or one of those other things that these breakout quote people get wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right, now, we've taken care of that, which I guess means that Mr. Steve wants us to address the array of titles.
No, we do whatever Steve wants us to do.
Well, we do.
Well, he's recording.
That's true. You know, we're only lucky he hasn't asked us for certain types of gratification. or not, as the case may be.
Anyway, everything opens.
Everything opens tomorrow or Wednesday, as the case may be, because this is Thanksgiving week. And because it's Thanksgiving week, that means that they want to get every nickel they can out of this crap.
Strangely, I have no Christmas movie. Are there any Christmas movies coming out? I just realized that. It's sort of amazing.
I don't think so. I don't think there is any Christmas-themed.
Let's throw a Christmas movie together real quick.
We should get it distributed. We could make a couple bucks out of this. Tim Allen. And, you know, we'd be home.
Anyway.
But in any case, we're not getting any Christmas movies tomorrow. We are getting Burlesque with Cher and Christina Aguilera, but Cam Gigandet. And how they have managed to pack every known backstage musical cliche into 2.5 minutes of trailer is absolutely amazing to me. So, I don't know, but it's coming our way, and it doesn't look good to me. It's a glitter.
None of this looks very good.
It's a glitter for the 2010s. So,
I never saw glitter.
Well, I did, which of course puts me very much in the minority. You know, at the time, Glitter came out right about the time of 9/11, if you will recall. And in fact, some people have suggested that Osama bin Laden was probably hiding in auditoriums where Glitter was showing because no one would look in there.
We have the next from CBS Films, who have so far just given us TV movies.
Well, now they've given us an R-rated action film starring Dwayne, no longer The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm. I know he drives a car around.
He's called Driver.
Billy Bob Thornton's in it.
He's called Cop. And there's a hitman played by somebody that I've never heard of who's listed in the credits as Killer. They've just dispensed. This whole thing is so generic, they have dispensed with the need for names.
They all just talk in grunts.
They might, yes or no. I'm still somewhat impressed by the fact that Johnson can manage to keep his head cleanly shaved, but not his chin.
Maybe that grows slower.
It's all that testosterone stuff. That is what happens when you speak in grunts. However, I will say it apparently does have an audience. People who post a lot on message boards and call each other dude seem to be really excited about this. So,
Ken posts on message boards, but does not call other people dude.
No, I don't call other people dude. I once broke up with a girl because she kept calling me dude, so, you know. Back in 1975. I have a long-standing dislike of being called dude. I realize I have just opened the door to it now. Nonetheless, we have not decided who is going to get to see Faster so far.
Probably
going to
be me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've given you quite an array of choices here.
Yes. One of which is Love and Other Drugs.
Which you have told me that I can see.
Because it looks awful to me.
Well, it looks interesting to me. And I suspect it will be awful because it's directed by Edward Zwick.
Right.
Who can suck the air out of any room he ever entered and make it all serious-like. And I know that it manages to somehow mix elements of romantic comedy, satire, and disease of the week soap into one
sounds miserable
gelatinous hole. The early reviews are pretty much dreadful, and I'm still kind of curious.
Well,
so I don't mind being the one who's going to get it. Now, that brings us to
Tangled 3D.
This
is another in the long line of thanks a lot, Shrek.
Yes, but this is, I keep hearing, awesome, and one of the year's best, and
from
in the
who?
Tradition of Disney's other princess pictures.
Who?
Well, from a whole lot of critics. I mean, right now, this thing has got
good
like
critics?
A really...
Some, respectable?
Some.
Okay.
Some not so. But then again, one of the people who hates it is Cole Smiley.
Let's be honest. Would there be a Disney if it wasn't for Pixar at this point?
Well, this isn't a Pixar, though.
I know.
This is Disney imitating
what
DreamWorks.
What is Disney?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing just looks... It doesn't look good to me. It looks like another Shrek knockoff snarky, postmodern fairy tale movie. And that's why, you know, I would love to be wrong. I would like to go to this and come out and go, wow, that was really great. But I went to The Princess and the Frog or whatever the hell it was called and came out and went, wow, that was really adequate. So, you know, and I don't really anticipate this being any better. In fact, I kind of expect it's going to be worse. But, well, we haven't decided who's going to sit through this yet. So, time will tell.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to do this. We're getting out of here, Ken. You have to. I'm doing it. You can say I'm leaving.
Well, I have to stay because I'm hosting the movie tonight.
Yes.
You're going to go have potluck turkey, and I don't see how it's potluck if you know it's going to be turkey. But
I don't know how this stuff works.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. In any case, I'm Ken Hanke.
I'm Justin Tyler. We're film critics of the Mountain Express.
Who are the fine folks who allow us to ramble on incoherently, whilst Mr. Schanefeld, who tries to make something coherent out of our incoherency, produces this thing. As he sits over there nodding sagely whilst stroking his beard. Yes.
Quite unsettling.
It is
unsettling. And inappropriate.
And unsettling and inappropriate. That's true. So we will see just exactly how far this inappropriateness goes.
Right.
But you'll have to wait until next episode to find out.
Yes.